take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. We'll read the first 8 verses together. Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We'll read this passage responsively. First one, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, there was probably more that happened in this building in one service today than the average church may see in a year. We don't take that for granted. Thank you that your presence is here. Lord, all those blessings from this morning, they won't do for tonight. Our preacher has a message from you for tonight. May we listen. May the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. May we have our lives changed, our homes strengthened, and our country transformed by it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
A few Sunday nights ago, I taught a little lesson called Jesus a Homeowner, and then it launched us into these lessons on how to keep our house a home. Let me read just a passage of Scripture to you that we already shared, found in Titus chapter 2. I'll start with verse 3. It says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers." So what's it talk about? It's talk about gossip. God especially says, as you women get older, don't become gossips. You get to thinking you know a lot. And what you do is you get to talking about things that's really none of your business. And you become a false accuser, thinking that you have the corner on the market, you know, of wisdom. You know what everybody needs. So you sit around and talk about it. God is actually taking time to tell us to be careful of that. It says, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they might teach the young women to be sober. And that means to be, doesn't mean that we're trying to keep you all from going out and getting drunk on Saturday night. It's talking about being sober-minded, having a seriousness about the things of God, and to love their husbands. You women that have been around a while, the young ladies in our church, the girls and the teenagers and the young married ladies ought to watch how you love your husband, and they ought to be learning it from you. You ought to be an example of how to love your husband and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now, once again, let's talk about you ladies that have been around for a while. You ought to be obedient to your husband as an example to our little girls, to our teenage girls, to our young married ladies. They ought to see your obedience to your husband. Now, that thing of being obedient to your husband is not real popular, but I've got news for you. The woman's not supposed to run the household. She should be obedient to her own husband. If you are a lady and you are controlling your household, you're not right with God. If you are a lady and you are controlling your household, you're not right with God. If it is your husband that must be in submission to you, then you're not right with God. Because you see, you're to be obedient to your husband, and you're to be teaching that. It says, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In other words, you are virtually causing a blasphemy of the word of God when a woman tries to run her home over her husband. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Now, I didn't write it. I just read it. Now, but what we're talking about is our home. America is starved for some good old-fashioned preaching and teaching on the subject of the home. We started this by saying we ought to allow Jesus to be our homeowner. Now, there's a difference in a house and a home. A house is made up of wood and brick and mortar and carpeting. A home, that's made up of a husband, a wife, children, relationships, gentleness, kindness, obedience. That's what makes up a home. You see, the average person has a house, but they don't have a home. They don't have the right kind of relationships. The Bible is not the center of their home. And what some of us need to do is we need to turn our house into a home. And you start out by getting saved. If you're here tonight, you're not born again. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You'll never have a Christian home unless you become a Christian. And God is the one that created this thing called the home. So I think God knows what He wants you to do in your home. And so we're to get saved. And then we're to allow love to be the thing that holds that home together. Now, I've said this the last couple of weeks. The Bible talks about a lady being a keeper at home. Not a keeper at house. A keeper at home. The word keeper there is equal to the word guard. A lady is to guard her home. Now, remember, I taught you this. God is a triune God, a three-part God. Now, He's one God, but He's got three parts. We can say it this way. He's one God with three personalities, like an egg. You have the shell, the white, and the yolk. Three parts, but one egg. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are one God, but He's a three-part God. Now, that three-part God is a picture of the family. You have God the Father, which pictures what? The husband or the father, daddy. Then you have God the Son, which pictures what? Well, the children. God the Son, the little boy and the little girl in the home. Now, if God the Father is a picture of dad, and God the Son is a picture of the children, that only leaves one person to be the God, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is that sets the mood of the home. And when the Bible is talking about a woman being a keeper at home, the woman is to guard the spirit of the home. The word keeper is found other places in the Bible. Genesis 39, verse 22 talks about being a keeper of the prison. That's the guard of the prison. 2 Kings 22, 14, it talks about the keeper of the wardrobe. 1 Chronicles 9, verse 19, the keeper of the gates. Song of Solomon 8:11, the keeper of the vineyard. Jeremiah 4:17, the keeper of the field. When you play soccer or you play hockey, they have a man that's a goalie, but there's another name for him. He's called the keeper. What's his job? He's to protect that goal. He's to make sure that the enemy can't shoot and get that puck or that soccer ball into the goal. And a lady's job is that she protects the spirit of her home. But the problem is, the man is to be the head of the home, which means he's supposed to set the atmosphere. He's supposed to determine the principles by which that home functions. He's to determine that the Bible is going to be our guide. He sets that up, and then his wife submits and steps in and says, that's exactly what we're going to do, and I want to keep it happy. I'm not going to fight him. I'm going to have a good time in the Lord. My husband's told me we're going to serve God, and this is how we're going to do it, and I am going to protect that spirit. She's to be keeper at home. The average husband thinks when the Bible says a woman's to be keeper at home, that means she's to be the maid. She's to do the laundry. She's to do the dishes and the ironing. No, I think, sure, that's something that a lady does, because not doing those things will ruin the spirit of the home. That's a part of protecting the home, but primarily she's to protect the spirit of the spiritual guidelines that the husband sets down. That's why some of you men need to get yourself into church and get into your Bible and let us teach you how to establish the spirit or the guidelines in your home so your wife then can submit to you and submit to those guidelines. Now, folks, you'll just have to accept it about me. I'm never going to change from that belief. It's in the Bible. I'm not going to get like some of these modern preachers that they unify the position of the husband and wife, or they put them on the same parallel. I'm sorry, that's not true. The husband is the head of the home. Now, just so you know, men, God is your head. You're to obey God. But the wife has a different position. They together unify to protect the spirit of that home. But dads, you are supposed to step up and get your family into church and get them into the Bible and get them some guidelines in the home. And mama, you're supposed to submit to it and be glad to be spiritual and be glad your husband feels that way. And then you're to follow it. Hey, it's very hard for a woman to protect the spirit of her home if the husband's not trying to help set one. Now, let me say something to some of you ladies. You say, well, my husband won't. Then you be very careful, but you go ahead and make your home as spiritual as you can get away with it. You be as spiritual as you can. If your husband won't bring the kids to church, you come on and come to church. Say, there's no husband in my home. Then you go directly to your Heavenly Father and let Him become the man of the house, and you follow Him perfectly. And I tell you what, He won't let you down. He won't lead you astray. Men are to establish, based on the Bible, what the woman then should protect it. Men are to be the head of the household. Well, what does it mean, head of the household? Well, that means that your thinking should be spiritual. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you're to think spiritually and set up the guidelines for your home. Now, I said, we're to turn your house into a home. And once we get it that way, we want to keep it that way. I started teaching you some very practical things that would help you to make your house into a home. I'll tell you this, I was a little bit embarrassed because these things are so simple. But oh, have I been amazed at the number of people that came to me and said, oh, Brother Owens, that one little simple point, that has helped our home so much. We'd never thought about that. And we needed the encouragement to do that. And so we're taking this Sunday night, next Sunday night, maybe yet even a Sunday night after that to talk about this thing. And I'm going to give you a couple of dozen things that will help you to keep your house a home. Let me give you some review. The first week we talked about this. I think you ought to eat at least one meal together a day as a family. Now listen, folks, that's far more important than what you think. It used to be families used to sit around the table and talk and share their food together, and I think it's a thing that we need to reinstate or reenact in our families. Number two, I said decorate your home in a livable way. Listen, don't make it so you've got all this fancy stuff and your kids can't enjoy home and every little thing that happens to the furniture that you freak out and you panic and you blow your stack. Well, what kind of house is that? Well, that's what it is. It's a house. But you need to have a home. Now, I'm not for letting the kids run wild. I think your kids ought to learn to appreciate what they have. They ought to learn to respect what you have. I remember my wife and I, when we were rearing the little ones, a very wise lady said this to us. My wife said, well, I think I'll just take all my little trinkets and things and put them up where the kid can't reach them. A wise lady said, leave them down where the kid can reach them and teach them not to reach them.
Amen.
You won't protect your kids forever, but they're supposed to enjoy home. Listen, there needs to be a place in every home where dad and the boys can wrestle. Why? Because that's important. They ought to be able to have some fun at home. But get your home in a livable way. The older you get, then as the kids move out, you can get everything. You can wrap everything in plastic and not let anybody sit on anything and live in your own germ-free world. Then, number three, do family projects together. Do family projects together. Work together. Share things together. Folks, we need time together. I told you this. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. You do things together and slow down and have time for them. I said number four, you need to establish a weekly family night or a family time. Every week of your life, there ought to be some time that you and the family spend together. Now, it may even mean that you've got to say to a teenage son or a teenage daughter, we're going to spend time together tonight as a family, and you're going to be there. Because you need time together as a family. God didn't give us those kids to send them five different directions and we're never together. We are to spend time together. I said number five, make a big deal out of Sundays. Sunday is a wonderful time. Sunday school is a wonderful place. Amen, brothers. Amen. You need to make Sunday a big day and make it a fun day and make it exciting the other day. I said this, set together in church. Now, I told you, I'm real excited about our teenagers, and I'm always so proud of you. Visitors come to our church, and all the teenagers not sitting in the back cutting up. They're not up in the balcony running from us. They're down front. They're under the spout where the blessing comes out. They're not afraid to let it be known that they're Christians, and they're excited about the things of God. And I'm for that, teenagers. But, teenager, if mom and dad ever say, set with us tonight, you ought to say, yes, ma'am, I would be glad to. I want to. And every once in a while, teenagers, just go set with mom and dad anyway. And we I want you to be together. Now, I know there are some that sing in the choir. They don't have that opportunity. Well, they can on Wednesday nights, because right now on Wednesday nights we don't have a choir. But families ought to try to set together in church. Then, don't let your in-laws invade your home. I said this. I told you that sometimes people have wonderful in-laws. And it goes very well. They're spiritual in-laws. There are some in-laws that will say, I love you serving God, and you do for God whatever you feel like God wants you to do. There are others, they'll mock their kids. They'll say, oh, that's ridiculous. You're getting carried away. Now, don't you let your in-laws keep you from being spiritual. And don't let your parents keep you from being spiritual. If you're going to be spiritual, be spiritual. I can't imagine a parent that wouldn't let their child to be spiritual. What it is, the parent is probably under conviction and needs to become spiritual themselves. They need to become spiritual themselves. Oh, you as parents, you better stop and realize, even if your kids are grown, you ought to be serving God and being a good example to them. Your kids are still watching you, and so are your grandkids. I can't promise you by serving God with your whole heart that you won't have any tragedies in life, but you'll have a whole lot less. We need to serve God. And so, don't let family members invade your home. You have a spiritual home no matter what the rest of the family is going to do. Then, I said, I think you ought to enjoy a simple yearly family vacation. I am for you taking a family vacation, and I think you ought to. I think some of you, you need to get your finances under control so you don't have to work through every vacation getting the double pay. You need time with your wife, you need time with your kids, and you need to be together. Now, you got to make sure it's a spiritual vacation. You got to go to church while on your vacation. I think in the Shenandoah Sermon that just came out or that will be coming out, there's a little lesson that I preach on how to have a biblical vacation. I think it was preached back in 2002 or the beginning of 2003. You go back here to the tape catalog and you order that tape, and it talks to you about taking a spiritual vacation. But I think you need time together with your family. Mrs. Owens and I, we have a time set up where we're going to go on vacation this summer, and we look forward to it. And it's a good thing. Then, I told you, teach your children to have simple tastes. Don't make it so your big things are the norm around your house. Make it so they enjoy the simple things. I told you that we eat out so much. Why not make it so if you go down to McDonald's and get a hamburger and french fries, your kids are excited instead of that's how they eat all the time. Make it so the simple things are still delightful to them. You won't regret doing that. Now, let's get into the new material this evening. Number next. Sing with your family. If you want to turn your house into a home, you need to sing with your family. You know, there are three things that tell you the spiritual temperature of both a church and a family. Music, money, and modesty. Guarantee it. Music, money, and modesty. You tell me what you're doing with your money, I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. You tell me how modest you are, I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. You tell me what kind of music you have, and I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. Oh, I can tell you. And we need the right kinds of music in our home. Hey, when you go on vacation, oh, take a bunch of good Christian spiritual music with you and play that along the way. Play Christian songs, the right kind of songs. Listen, the kind of music we'd have in church. Be careful setting up a double standard in your home. You get down to church and at the Christian school and you're allowed to listen to this, but at the house you can listen to anything you want. You're ruining your kids. You're ruining the atmosphere in your home. You won't have music in your home that's that wild rock and roll with all the hatred and the beer drinking and the sex and the drugs in it and expect your kids to be good, decent, wholesome, clean Christians. You ruin them. And I know you're sitting there and you're saying, well, me and my wife listen to it. That's why you fuss and you fight and you can't get along. you have violent music,
yes,
you have violent tendencies in your home. But have good music. I'm not talking about, you know, we are family. We're not talking about the Village People. That you say they're singing about the family. Not the kind of family we're talking about. A man and woman make up a family, not two sodomites. Listen to the right kind of music between home and church. Puts you in a better mood. Puts you in a better atmosphere. When you have family devotions, there's nothing wrong with you singing. In church, learn to sing. Learn to sing. I told you I stuck my head into a Sunday school class this morning, and when I went in, I stick my head in most Sunday school classes, and I say good morning or hi. There's this one fella. He's mad at me. He's mad at God. He's mad at everybody. He never smiles. He's bitter, nasty, angry. I can't imagine that. I watch him in the morning service. Everybody else was singing and having a good time. He's just... You know, he is going to have ulcer. I think he is a human ulcer on legs. You know, singing will relax you.
Amen.
Singing is good for you. It's good for your family. Sing. Good music is necessary. Not to just listen to it, but sing it. Sing it. Around the house, sing good music. At the holidays, sing good music. Did you know that even in the bars and the nightclubs, they have enough sense to know that music sets the atmosphere? They want to sell beer. There's the kind of music you listen to sell beer.
Yes, sir.
Well, sure there is. They know what they're doing. Some bartenders are more concerned about the atmosphere in their bar than you are about the atmosphere in your home. You know, some of your music could be transferred right into the bar because it's music they listen to in there. You know, our house is just a bunch of brawling and fighting. And, well, I wonder why. You got fighting music going on.
Yes, sir.
You need to insist that good music be in your home. And if you don't have a television, you need to keep a lot of music in your home. Now, I'll tell you about me. When my wife and I, when we got married, we didn't have a TV. You say, why? I was just so sick and tired of all the filth on television. Tired of people, all the immorality and the filth and the bad music and the lies and the deceiving and what they call entertainment. We reared our kids without a TV.
Amen.
Say, why? Just thought we could do it without it. But because we did, boy, it is quiet in here. Well, you think I'm from outer space? But because we did, we kept a lot of good Christian music around our home. A lot of good Christian music. And it did not hurt our children. You've deprived them. Well, feel sorry for us, please. And so you know, we have provided you with lots of good music to replace some of the trash you were listening to. Lots of good music. I've had music group after music group and tape and CD after CD. I've made them all available over and over and over again to you so you could get some good music in your home. The average, and you're going to have to learn, the average so-called Christian bookstore is not Christian. Folks, the music's not Christian. The books there are no good. Even the so-called Bibles, you know, the Bible of a Month Club. Again, you ought to not have a double standard in your home. If it wouldn't be allowed in the Christian school or in the church, you shouldn't allow it in your home. That's going to be hard for some of you parents because you're still rebellious against God in that area. Is your young person a better Christian than you? Is your daughter, has she made more decisions about serving God than you have? Again, it's really quiet in here. I'm trying to help you. Your daughter's not to leave your home spiritually, Mama. Your son is not to leave the home spiritually, Dad. Dad is to be the most spiritual person in the home. Dad! And Mom is to submit to Dad, and Dad ought to be able to say, this is what we're going to do. Mom, say amen. Let's do it, honey. I'm for it. Instead, I'm not going to do that. That's your dad's office.
Yeah, let's move on to the next point. You're not handling it well.
Next, if you want to keep your house a home, say I love you often. Say I love you often. Everybody in Christianity needs to learn something called unconditional love. You're loving people, whether it be your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, or anybody. You ought to decide to love because of what you are, not because of what they are. Learn to love people. We hate sin, but we love people. When you put your children to bed at night, why don't you say the last words that they hear in the evening? I love you. Is that asking too much? What would happen if every parent here, I'm talking about your teenagers, I'm talking about your little ones, I'm talking about your stepkids. I'm going to tell you, I feel awful sorry for some kids. As they sit in my office, say, I'm confused, Brother Owens. Why is my home in the mess it's in? I wish I could bring all you kids to my house. Brother Owens will tell you I love you when you go to bed at night. And when you disappoint me, I'll still love you. Now, I might whip your rear end, but I'll love you while I'm doing it. Hey, when you put the kids to bed at night, why not the last words they hear? I love you. How about telling your mate before you go to bed at night? I love you. Each morning when you let the kids off to go to school, what would be wrong with a I love you? When your mate leaves for work, instead of fussing and fighting and fuming and throwing the banana and the lunchbox at him, how about saying, honey, I love you? In times of heartache, I love you. When you're proud of them, graduations and awards and report cards, I love you. I love you. I think every married couple here, every day of your life, ought to look deep into one another's eyes, use no words, and look at each other deep enough and long enough to say, I love you, using no words. But our lives are so fast-paced. We're so caught up in buying houses and not building homes. So caught up in our careers, we don't have families. We're in sad shape, America. The sodomites are now saying a home is made up of two men getting married. You say, that's not real love. Are you practicing real love at your house? Say, I love you, and often. Let I love you be the last words they hear. Mrs. Owens, each night as she goes to sleep, she says to me, honey, I love you. I say to her, then get your cold feet off of me. I want the truth to be known. Hey, write love letters to your kids, to your husband, to your wife. Some of you men, your wife needs you to cherish her. You need to write her a love note. Now, my wife, I used to be a little embarrassed of it, but I got used to it. She went back when I was working in the machine shops, working my way through college. She would write me love notes on the fruit that she stuck in my lunchbox. Now, I get this love note going around in circles around an orange, and I'm over there trying to read this, and, you know, some guy walked by and said, what are you doing? I said, I put it in my lunchbox. I'm not doing that. I thought they would think I was, flipped out. I'm reading my orange. You can write on a banana. You can't write on strawberries. But she, little love notes. Husbands and wives, let's write some love notes again. Hey, let me tell you something. You want to keep your mate off the internet and all that filthy chat room where they shouldn't be talking to people they're not married to? When's the last time they got a love note from you? Why don't both of you sit down at the internet, and why don't you just start writing love notes back to one another? He might not want to write a love note to somebody he's not married to. Some of you need to get out of the chat room and say, well, we're just friends. Why don't you become best friends with your husband? Or best friends with your wife? You know what I hold before you? A love note. It's a love note from the Heavenly Father to His children. And when's the last time your daughter got a little note from you, Dad? Or a card? Mom? Man, I've got one woman so mad at me right now. It must have been that head of household thing. And I'm going to have a good time anyway. Next, elevate the spiritual leadership to your children. pray for your children's spiritual leaders and teach your children to pray for their spiritual leaders. Teach them to pray and to respect their Sunday school teacher. Teach them to pray and respect the pastors of the church. Teach them to pray and respect the Christian school teachers. Talk about the wonderful things that the spiritual leaders are doing in their life. Not criticize. Not criticize. I'm going to tell you, some of you don't realize what you're doing to your kids. You criticize the spiritual leadership behind their back to your kids, and I'll tell you exactly what you're doing. You are tearing down not the personality of the person, but the authority in life. And they're going to turn on you. You are teaching them to attack authority. That's what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. Teach your kids to respect spiritual leaders, not tear them down. Dad, they're going to come after you next. Mom, some of you moms don't know the lack of respect that your children have for you because the lack of respect you have created in their life for leadership. Well, I'm their leader. Right. And you taught them to disrespect leadership. You have brought it on yourself. Build up the spiritual leadership. Teach your kids to give their Sunday school teacher a gift, maybe their birthday or Christmas. I was so pleased. I think it was Brother Andrew Logan, his wife, and maybe somebody else was with him. I was preaching, I think, up in Maryland somewhere. What was it, Joppa, Maryland, that you all came? I was up there preaching in a big meeting up there. I looked up. And there were the Logues and their children. I thought, man, that is fantastic. Now, they hear me preach all the time. But you know what? I think it was a statement to say, preacher, we want our kids to know that we back you. I don't need anything from you. But I'll tell you this. You better teach your kids to respect their spiritual leaders.
Amen.
You better teach them to. Teach them to respect the spiritual leadership in their life. By lifting up authority, you are lifting up God. By lifting up authority, you are lifting up your position as leader. See, what some of you are going to do is you're going to teach the dog to bite a hand of authority, but yours is the one that's going to get bit.
Yes, sir.
Do something in your children's lives to build up spiritual authority. So far tonight, I said, sing with your family. It'll protect and set the proper atmosphere. Get the right kind of music in your home. Then I said, say I love you often. Then I said, elevate spiritual leadership. Next, talk about what a wonderful home you have. Talk about it with them. You say, well, it's going to be kind of tough. Find the positives. Or hurry up and insert a bunch of spiritual positives and make it positive. Talk about the good things in your home. Talk about the positive. Do you know that talking about positive produces more positive? Talking about negative produces more negative? I wish some of you knew yourself. Do you know that negative people gravitate toward negative people? If you're a negative person, you say, oh, the people I'm talking to don't like it. Well, how is it all the people you're talking to are negative? Negative people gravitate toward negative people. They find each other and say, well, we agree on one thing. We sure are negative. Hey, a positive attitude produces a positive attitude. When it's time for you to spend time as a family together, be excited about it and be positive. When it's time to go to church together, be positive. If it's family night, be positive. If we're making a spiritual change in our family, and all of us need to make some spiritual changes in our family, be positive. A grouch, the gats, a grouch. You know, you wonder why your child speaks to his mother that way. How do you speak to his mother? Are you teaching your kids to be rude to their mama? Are you actually gossiping about their father to the children? Oh my. What in the world has happened to our homes? But mom and dad were supposed to love the Lord and be positive and teach the kids, mom and dad, stick together and do right together. I've been at it long enough. I know there are women in here, or maybe not in here. I hope not. But there are women who go out to eat with their grown daughters, do nothing but talk about how dumb dad is. That does not create a happy home. The offspring won't turn out real well. Your family will believe what you talk them into believing about good things. Be positive. There's a fella. He's about to jump off a bridge and commit suicide. Police showed up. One of the detectives said, "Sir, don't do it. Don't do it." This detective, he climbed up on the top of that bridge and they talked for about 20 minutes. This guy said, "It's so bad." And he went on and on and said, "This is why I'm going to do it." 20 minutes later, they both jumped. That's what some of us are doing to our families. That's what some of us are doing to our families. Listen, sing with your family. Say, "I love you" often. Elevate spiritual leadership. Talk about and have a wonderful atmosphere and be positive in your home. Here's something I inserted here. You know, we've had what we call some family parties for no reason. We just decide, our immediate family, we all just get together and we have a little party. But, you know, in Sunday school, we'll plan a party for a bunch of children. What would be wrong with having a party at home? What would be wrong with having some fun at home? Maybe have a special meal. Even decorations. I've had nights when I would get home and my wife decided we were going to have a Mexican or a Spanish meal. I mean, there'll be a meal. There'll be music. There's some decorations and napkins and plates. I said, "What's the occasion?" She said, "Well, just family night. We're going to have some fun." Here's some good, decent, wholesome creativity. Sure would make your home a lot more pleasant place. Let me do this, and this is one last point, and we'll be done. Praise the Lord together. Praise the Lord together. When prayers are answered, share them with the entire family. We've been praying that this day would be a great day for our church. I can promise you this. Mrs. Owens and I no sooner got in the car that we got on the cell phone. We called our son Jeff. We called our son Josh. We called our son Jeremiah. All three are away from us. Jeff is not away permanently. The other two have been away for a while. But we called them right away to say, "Hey, guess what happened? We praised the Lord for a little while on the phone." We didn't get on the phone and say, "Oh, great. It was so packed out. I hate it." So our kids call us when things are going well at the church, and we call them when things are going well at the church. How often do you talk about how well things are going at church with your kids, even your grown kids? What kind of atmosphere have you set up with them? Listen, praise the Lord together. Hey, when some problem has been avoided or diverted in your family, share it. You were almost in an accident. You could have been in the accident, but you weren't. Tell your kids, "Praise God. Look at how God spared us." Pick out things that are daily blessings and make a big deal about them. Maybe someday I'll just go to the closets and show everybody all the clothing and say, "Children, isn't this wonderful? Look at all the clothes we have." Or is yours inadequate? It's mad about the clothes that you have. They're not good enough. So look at all the food. Get your family together someday and go to the cupboards, go to the refrigerator and the freezer, and look at all the food and say, "Look at what God's done for us." I mean, really mean it. Or let's just gripe and complain when we eat and throw half of it in the garbage because it's not adequate. Go lay on every bed and say, "Look at that. We have a bed.
Amen.
And sheets. And a pillow.
Amen.
And a blanket. Let's jump." No, you can't. I don't see what's wrong with jumping on beds. I have to tell you. When we had one of our missionary families here for our most recent mission conference, and Motel called me and they were upset. This missionary family came in and they had a truckload of kids, I think four or five kids, and the hotel called me and said, "Well, Pastor Owens, these people that stayed in this room that you paid for, they've broken the bed." I said, "How did they break the bed?" "Well, their children were jumping on it." I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I am sorry they broke that bed. I'll pay for that. That's no problem." I hung up the phone. I said, "Good." I'm glad those kids had some fun while they were here. I know all you parents are saying, "No, no, no, Brother Owens. Beds are not made for jumping, but I'll tell you, we ought to appreciate the beds we have." Trying to get out of this thing now. Well, whatever you do, moms and dads, don't jump with them. I can't pay for all those beds that'll be broken. hey, do you have some air conditioning in your home? Go get by the vent or the register with your kids and say, feel that?
Amen.
Praise God. Walk around your house and praise God. Praise God you got a mom, and praise God you got a dad. Praise God for the kids. Praise God for your church and the Sunday school teacher and the school that God's given you. Boy, we need to get our eyes to pray back on the good things God's done for us. Praising the Lord will produce an atmosphere of praising each other. The family that never praises God will not praise one another. Let the kids see Dad say amen, or at least smile every once in a while in church. At least, you know, your kids watch you in church. Some of you need to learn how to control your facial expressions. It's obvious to everyone around you, you're mad. Do you know it? Honestly. I mean, you sit there going, no, we're going to figure it out, maybe. Cover up your rebellion better, sugar plum. You're hurting yourself. Your kids are watching you. They're watching you. Go. Oh, but if your daughter did that, you go, rebel! Around our home, we're constantly praising God. And by praising God, it creates an atmosphere of praising. And this world's tough enough. We need to do some praising of one another for the good, godly things that go on in our home. So if you want to keep your house a home, here's what you do. You sing with your family. You say, I love you often. You elevate spiritual leadership. Don't tear down authority in your home. Talk about what a wonderful atmosphere you're creating and the good things that are happening in your home. Have a family party for no reason. Praise the Lord together and create an atmosphere of praising. And those things, some of the other things I've given you, will help you to keep your house a home. Because our homes are in a mess in America. And if the church does not set the pace, who's going to? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.